Good afternoon, brethren. It's good to see each and every one of you and those that are watching online. I wish you were here, but I understand. Brethren, have you ever thought about or asked yourself the question, how much spiritual progress have I made throughout the years since I was baptized? How many of us have had, or maybe now have, nagging doubts about our lack of spiritual progress? Most of us have encountered spiritual setbacks for any number of reasons, perhaps triggered by the loss of a job, the termination of a friendship, unfulfilled goals or seemingly unanswered prayers, or the heartbreaking death of a family member. Perhaps we have worked to overcome a long-held habitual sin. And just as we think we got it beat, the sin rears its ugly head and seems stronger than ever. Because of incidents or situations like these, it can lead us to have doubts about our spiritual growth, or maybe even our conversion itself. I like to think of our lives as it were a building project under construction. I worked on construction sites when I was a younger man, and like today, when a large building project is developing, scaffolding is used to access elevated structures. Fences or some kind of barriers are set out to keep out the inquisitive, and anyone not involved in the project. These barriers also hide the debris that accumulates in the building process. Building contractors realize that their "please excuse our mess" signs will seldom stop impatient, premature, and critical judging of the progress of the project. As is common to most mankind, we tend to look beyond the scaffolding and debris, not envisioning the finished product. Perhaps our forefather Noah at times wished God would have erected some kind of barrier fencing around the ark, as it was a work in progress that lasted for decades. And who knows, maybe God had put some kind of barrier to keep people out of the ark construction zone. Nonetheless, thankfully, during this time, Noah kept the spiritual vision in the forefront of his mind and focused on the finished project. We can be thankful that Abraham had the vision to look beyond temporary obstacles and tolerate multiple delays, while the project God intended to work through him and for him by giving him a promised son, a permanent homeland, and a heavenly country, as is stated in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. In fact, we could say Abraham died in the construction phase, having only seen the promises and finished project afar off. His spiritual vision enabled him to see beyond the transition stages to the final goal. Moses, Elijah, Daniel, John the Baptist, and the Apostle John all died during the construction phase of their conversion also. Brethren, the master contractor has a plan with a timetable for each and one of us. Indeed, some of God's plans and methods, as stated in Romans 11:33, are unsearchable and past finding out in this physical life. We could also compare the educational process to a construction project. Students often can't see the relevance of a particular course to their program of study. Some presumptuous students feel they know better than the curriculum's designer, and try to take shortcuts. Brethren, God has not placed us in charge of the curriculum that he has planned for us. He is the master educator, and he knows best how to turn out top-of-the-class graduates. Unfortunately, some of us, at times, think we know better than the master contractor or educator. And this kind of attitude can lead into what some construction sites rope off as danger zones. God makes it clear, and he thinks about the know-it-all who believes he has a better idea. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible. It's in Isaiah 45, verses 9 through 10. And God has some sharp words about that. Woe to him who strives with his maker, a worthless piece of broken pottery among the pieces equally worthless, and yet presuming to strive with their master. Shall the clay say to him who fashions it, what do you think you are making? Your work has no handles? Woe to him who complains against his parents that they have begotten him. Woe who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, with what are you in travail? God has given us minds to think and plan, but he does not always give us charge over the outcome of our plans. Another familiar proverb, in Proverbs 16:9, says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Sometimes these steps, directed by God, move sideways, move backwards, or perhaps a winding detour. How many times, and you look back in your life, how many times has God steered us away from horrendous unseen obstacles? While we mistakenly think he is hindering us or not answering our prayers. Verse 25, the same Proverbs, states something we all know, but at times we forget when it applies to us and we are making decisions not asking God's will. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Is it possible that if we always received what we prayed for and set our minds upon, I want this, it could also lead to death? You think that's the way mankind's going? Jeremiah 10:23 affirms, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah implies that without God's will involved, man's plans often end in failure and ruin. Is not mankind heading that direction? In Psalm 119, verse 71, again, and this is in the Amplified Bible, he writes, and this is what David said, thousands of years ago, and he understood that setbacks could ultimately lead to something greater and better. So here's what David, from his observations, stated. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. If we have confidence in God's plan for us, we can come to see that setbacks, hard times, and prayers not answered as we had hoped work for our ultimate good. All things work for our good. When God is involved, those who love God, if we approach these difficulties properly, we can often gain a better, more productive perspective. And there is no better view or point of view than God's. At some time in our lives, most of us have at least been temporarily disappointed with the way God has resolved the problem. From a human viewpoint, the Apostle Paul had every reason to display disappointment in his many grim problems filled situations. But he didn't. Putting a positive spin on an apparently negative situation, Paul reassures the church members in Philippi. And he states this in Philippi 1:12. But I want you to know, because he knew what they were thinking. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. This is one of the many situations that turned out for the good, where Paul's imprisonment in Rome actually provided a golden opportunity to bring Christ's message to the emperor's palace guards, as was stated in verse 13. Let me ask another question, similar to one I asked in the beginning. Have we ever questioned the spiritual growth in one of our brothers or sisters in the congregation? Brethren, if we ever get in the position of questioning whether a brother or sister in Christ fulfills his or her part in God's plan, we might as well compare ourselves to a presumptuous flagman on a construction crew, attempting to tell the demolition foreman, hey, here's how to set those explosive charges. In evaluating God's collective work, we have responsibility for only judging ourselves and bringing our own flesh and blood into submission. In Philippians 1:6, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to have confidence. And here's what he said, to have confidence that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This applies to each and every one of us sitting here. If we continue working with and for God in the production project he has constructed for each one of us. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, in order to accomplish his work, he had to undergo what we would call setbacks, beginning with changing from a comfortable, permanent spiritual state to a precarious, temporal, mortal state. Our Savior emptied himself of his divinity, becoming a physical, fleshly human being, suffering and undergoing temptation like mankind does. However, his extreme demotion to a human being ultimately resulted in his glorification as our King and High Priest. He had to go through it. He knew it. And he did it. Brethren, when we think about it, we live our entire lives in a spiritual hard hat construction zone. In that construction zone, we could envision God Almighty as the chief engineer and Jesus Christ as the contractor. Let's turn to Philippians 4, verses 11 through 12. That's Philippians 4. Verses 11 to 12, and this is where Paul teaches us a vital lesson in God's planning for us. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 12. I have learned, in whatever state I am in, to be content. I know how to be abased. Paul does not allow himself to become overwhelmed following a setback. Now, continuing on with the scripture, and I know how to abound. He does not let the euphoria of accomplishment slow down his progress. He doesn't spend all sorts of time thinking about, look what I did. It's just a process, and he knows it. Paul urges us to consider both setbacks and accomplishments as transitional phases in our project on the road to full conversion. He writes in Philippians 1:13 what he learned on his road to conversion. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. The road to conversion, like the road to success, is always under construction. Like Paul, we must press forward to finish our part of the job. Once we have been called by God, we come to realize that we spend our entire lives in a spiritual construction zone. Then we should better understand how setbacks, detours, and multiple delays in our lives provide an expected and necessary forward path to our spiritual progress. So, brethren, let's put our hard hats on and get to work, keeping the vision of finishing the project of entering into the kingdom of God.